You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Community group Stop the Cuts has just released their findings from a survey of over 1,000 people in the Auckland arts and culture sector, asking them how they predict they'll be affected by the proposed council budget cuts. I spoke to Alessia Wilson-Hetty from the group about the survey. I started by asking what this council funding provides for Aucklanders.
Well, it actually enables quite a large breadth of different things, from more community-based like youth programs, arts programs, to larger events and festivals.
Council's proposing a $44 million reduction overall. Where are these cuts being seen mostly?
They're mostly being seen in the, well, across the board, to be honest with you. So from contestable funding, which obviously helps our creators to be able to make the work in order for that to live somewhere. It's also going to be taken away from venues, festivals, events, educational programs. So it's not from one place, it's actually from a breadth of different places within the ecosystem.
In the survey, many people mentioned that Auckland would suffer from a loss of kind of vibrancy and culture as a city. With the larger events funded put on by like Tataki Auckland that brought in, I don't want to reduce this to purely economic terms, but $40 million last year or over the last 6 months. How are smaller contractors and artists involved in these larger events put on by like Pacifica or Music in the Parks or these larger art installations like across the community?
Well, with those larger events, it takes a lot of people to actually make those happen, right? So that would have a huge impact on our practitioners, our contractors, our event producers and makers. Because ultimately you can't have these big, large-scale events without those people actually doing and making the work and facilitating all of that behind-the-scenes mahi that happens in order to make, you know, to present these big, large-scale events. So it'd be quite devastating to our contractors who, you know, work a gig economy, so they're going from gig to gig. And it would have a huge impact on those people if the investment into those larger scale events was taken out. Then what would that mean for our people who do, you know, work contract to contract?
What other funding options are available for people in this sector?
Well, I think what's really important to clarify is the fragility of our ecosystem is that for most things that happen in the arts, creativity and cultural sector, you're getting co-investment from a multitude of different funders, whether that's, you know, Creative New Zealand or, you know, during COVID that comes through the Ministry of Culture and Heritage, through philanthropy, so Foundation North, and then outside of that, looking at kind of sponsorship. There's an array of different kind of pots of money and investment that go into being able to make work. So with the fragility of kind of how that is funded and what that actually looks like and the complexity of the ecosystem, if you are to remove even one of those players in this scenario, that being either Tataki or the council, then who picks up that extra investment? And as we all know, Creative New Zealand doesn't have any more pūtea in the bank, that it's actually vital that we still have co-investment across the board from all of these different funders into the sector in order to make it sustainable.
Well, 89% of people in the survey mentioned that there was already a large strain on this kind of strict funding environment. And talking about it kind of impacts through wage reduction and job insecurity, and of course the cuts to grants and funding programs themselves. Artists also mentioned that they might move from Auckland as a result or relocate.
Yeah, well, I think reflecting on that, like pre-COVID, things were challenging. During COVID, Auckland specifically and our practitioners in this region had a lot to navigate with all the disruptions. We've also had the recent climate change disasters happen through the region and through the North Island, which people are continuing to navigate. And COVID hasn't gone anywhere. Those challenges are still very real for people. So if you are making it even more difficult for people to actually be able to do what it is that they do, then the reality of that is people will leave and go elsewhere. And I think as a sector, as a city, we have been working very hard to make Auckland a cultural capital, a destinational place where people want to come to experience our arts and culture. And if we take away from that the support and resource, ultimately what will happen is it will no longer be a destination because there won't be anything here, really. So people will leave. They'll go to other parts of not even necessarily New Zealand, but they'll look abroad to go, well, you know, there's opportunities in Melbourne or Sydney, which are also cultural hubs. We'll go there where we can actually have a sustainable career.
What would be the sort of long-term impact of this single year of cuts in terms of the people who'd be uprooted, the institutions that would falter in this period?
Oh, absolutely. It would be disastrous. I don't think kind of pausing is an option because pausing essentially is stopping, right? And in order to be able to then go after a year, oh, we're going to reinstate those funding pools, then you're then having to also build up capacity again around who administrates all of that because you would have let go of that part of your team. So it's not as simple as saying, oh, we'll just pause for a year. That will be disastrous. We'll see people leave. Going back to what I said earlier around the fragility of our ecosystem and how it works, it would just be devastating. It truly would be devastating if we were to go, let's just put this on hold, because actually the way in which the sector works and all the different moving parts and what that actually looks like in real time, you take anything out of this already very fragile system and it will collapse. So it actually does require this kind of co-investment model to support the sector to be able to actually do what it does.
Over 90% of respondents say the proposed cuts will affect Māori, Pacific people, rainbow communities, migrant communities, young people and people with disabilities. Why do these cuts impact these groups so adversely?
Well, I think the reality of that is that our marginalised communities already have barriers in accessing, it really is an accessibility issue and an equity issue that we're seeing, because those groups of people are already starting on the back foot anyway. So if you are taking out, if you start to remove those support systems, then it's just going to make it harder for those people to actually be able to engage and participate. And in order for it to be an equitable, accessible environment for people, we need to ensure that the conditions that we foster within the ecosystem and in the environment and sector, you're able to remove those barriers. And I suppose that's where some of that funding, you know, the funding, the investment into the sector to support those communities to actually engage.
That was Alicia Wilson-Hetty from Stop the Cuts on their survey on budget cuts for the arts and culture sector.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.